question. Lois. Lois Josephson.
Oh, Thatcher Minneapolis.
George Sundstrom, Duluth.
Will reappear from behind his back. I'm Billy Young, St. Paul.
Rebecca Covington, Duluth.
Jerry Rogers. Jerry Rogers. We've had a minute ago.
Hi, Jennifer Godinez, and I live in St. Louis Park.
Rich Noel, Woodbury.
Pat Duncanson, Mapleton.
Shane Dale, Rochester.
Joanne Stately, Plymouth.
I'm Dave Fisher, Minneapolis.
Bill Brady from St. Paul.
Ardell Brady, Rochester.
And still Sonia Cairns, Minneapolis.
Paul Taylor, Minnetonka.
Margaret Carlson, Minnetonka.
Sylvia Canelon, St. Paul, and the student representative on the council.
Richard Esmond, Ada.
Jim Erickson, Minneapolis.
Harriet Porter over here.
Woodbury.
Kelly Smith, we're glad to see you and welcome you. And we'd like to have you make an opening statement, if you will, 3 to 5 minutes.
Sure. Thank you very much. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to speak to all of you today. I'm honored to be this far along in the process. I'd also like to thank the Star Tribune for clarifying to its readership that it's Mr. Kelly Smith. get a lot of confusion with that name, especially since I married Chris. Christine, and she gets the Mr. Mail in our house, and I get the Ms. Mail. So, honored to be here. I have been married to Chris for 25 years, and we have three college-age children. My oldest daughter, Abby, is a first-year podiatry student at Des Moines University. My second daughter, Emily, is a senior at the University of Chicago. And my son, Joe, is a sophomore at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus here right now, majoring in business economics as of today. We'll see where that takes him. I'm currently in my 19th year as a school superintendent in Minnesota. I have served four districts during that time. My first year was kind of an interim position with the community of Stewart as they were going through a consolidation effort with their neighbor Broughton. I moved from there to West Central Area Schools, which was four school districts when I arrived: Elba Lake Wendell, Barrett, Huffman, and Kensington. And they also were looking at a consolidation effort, and we did consolidate those districts into West Central Area Schools. And there I went to Red Wing and served for 3 years, and now I'm currently at Belle Plaine Schools in my seventh year as superintendent there. Prior to becoming a superintendent, I was a math teacher and computer science teacher, coach, activities director, business manager, and assistant superintendent for the Gibbon, Fairfax, Winthrop school districts. My involvement with the University of Minnesota started at an early age, as my family was very active in 4-H, growing up in Cottonwood, Minnesota, in Lyon County, near Marshall. And five of my siblings were involved in 4-H from the day we moved to the farm and through our high school years. My children were involved in 4-H as youngsters up in Grant County, and we were in the Elbow Lake community as well. I attended the University of Minnesota Morris for my undergraduate degree in math education with a minor in business economics. Several siblings are graduates of the university. A brother was a farmhouse fraternity member on St. Paul campus and graduated with an agribusiness degree. His wife is a med school grad from the university. My other brother is a vet school graduate of the University of Minnesota. And another sister-in-law is a graduate of the University of Minnesota Duluth. So we've had a lot of connections to the university through the years. I'm currently a member of the Alumni Association and have been since completing my doctorate in 2003 from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. In terms of governing experience, obviously as a superintendent of schools, I've had a number of years of governing experience from the administrative side and seen boards in action, both good and bad. I've had boards ranging from 6 members to 25, and budgets ranging from $8 million to $24 million during those years. been directly involved in contract negotiations with union and non-union bargaining groups, and have worked extensively in policy development, facility and financial planning, and academic advancement of all the schools that I've been a member of. While working as a superintendent, I've been very involved in various education organizations, the Minnesota Rural Education Association, where I was a board member and legislative committee representative for that organization, Schools for Equity in Education. I'm currently a member of that organization, and also the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. I've been a board member for that organization, legislative representative, and I am currently president-elect of that organization, which represents 350 school administrators throughout the state of Minnesota. Through the years, I've also been involved in civic organizations ranging from city planning and zoning committees, child and youth councils, Scott Family Net, Goodhue County Collaborative Council. While in Red Wing, I served on the Red Wing United Way Board and the Red Wing YMCA Board as well. I've been a member of Lions and most recently Rotary Clubs during my 10 years in different districts. I'm currently the president of the local Belle Plaine Rotary Club. I've had numerous opportunities to display my fiduciary responsibilities and financial skills through the years as a school superintendent and a former school business manager. Over 20 years' experience, and have had the responsibility for the entire school district budget. Several of the districts that I moved to were in statutory operating debt as I moved to those districts, and I was part of the process that enabled them to move out of that circumstance, which is not a good position to be in. Essentially, they're moving toward financial insolvency as a school district, and we were successful in all three of getting them put on a positive financial standing during my tenure there. Throughout my career, I've essentially been in rural Minnesota, where diversity has not been a major issue, but I have been active in Red Wing, along with board member Noah White and the Red Wing School Board. We made a concentrated effort with the Prairie Island tribal community to improve graduation rates. Students were successful through Native American students were successful through their elementary and perhaps middle school years, but we were not graduating many of those students, and we worked diligently on that effort, and the year after I graduated, before I departed, we had our first Native American graduate in a number of years at that school. Currently, Belle Plaine is involved in a desegregation cooperative with Sibley East and Nicollet schools, who are neighboring districts of ours, and while we do not have a significant minority population, Sibley East, our neighbor, does. They have a large Hispanic community with a processing plant in Gaylord, and we have a variety of minorities in our community. We have seven languages, but we have no large predominant group: Spanish, Russian, Chinese, Creole, and a few others, but it's one student here, two students here, and it's reflective of our community. Belle Plaine is a commuting community, so we have a lot of new members to our community, and we've had a successful relationship with Sibley East and Nicollet in that early stages of our desegregation program. I feel my leadership strength through the years have really reflect the collaborative nature of my leadership. Anytime school districts are looking at consolidation, there are many issues on the table, and people have to be willing to give up pieces of their identity in order to make a successful school consolidation, and I've been involved in three of those efforts. I've been involved in a teacher strike, which was difficult for the school district and the community, and was part of that recovery process after that effort as well. But I look to find out information about a problem and then build consensus toward a viable solution for the organization. As it was announced that I was a candidate for this position, I've had a lot of friends and colleagues ask, why in the world would you want to be on the Board of Regents right now in these difficult financial times? And we know there are difficult times ahead, and I really don't have to think too long about the response. I've had a love affair with the University of Minnesota since early on in my life. I think I've been a successful superintendent because I have a passion for education and lifelong learning. And when you have a passion for something, you tend to be successful at it. I believe I can bring that passion to the University of Minnesota if I'm selected to be a Board of Regents moving forward. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak to all of you today.
Billy Young has the first question.
Yeah. You're a very busy person, and you're working full time. And I have some understanding of what the demands are on the school superintendent. The regent role takes a minimum of about 40 hours a month. How do you see that you would have time to undertake this commitment?
Right. That's something I certainly thought long and hard about. I really started thinking very seriously about the regent position 6 years ago. I came up here and watched this one of these sessions going on. I think you were interviewing current regent Stephen Hunter at the time. And I've talked to Dallas Bonsack, outgoing regent for Congressional District 2, several times about that time commitment. I am at a period of my life where my wife and I are empty nesters right now, and suddenly there is a little more time. I am busy with school, but also in that arena where we're kind of between major projects. And I have talked to my school board that I know that there would be some time commitments, and it would be my expectation that some of my vacation time is dedicated to the University of Minnesota to make that happen. I hope you heard throughout some of my past experiences that I enjoy being busy, and that's something that's natural to me. And so I think I could make a definite commitment to that at least 40 hours a month.
Thank you.
Paul Thatcher.
I noticed with interest your stint of service as legislative rep for the Association of School Superintendents. Understanding, as we all do, the dire circumstances that the university faces in funding, particularly as the legislature deals with deficits. I wonder if you have had any success with the legislature. And if so, could you tell us about that? Because we may find that in you a new recruit.
I don't know if I can ever take individual responsibility for success at the legislature. I was part of a group of school superintendents who have lobbied for various aspects. The last thing I testified before a committee on was some of the changes that occurred with charter schools in last legislative session. Obviously, I've talked to legislators about additional funding, but whether my individual words had any sway over that, I'm not sure. But it's something I am comfortable doing, and it's something that certainly we need to have continuing contact with all our legislators to keep education, not just K-12 where I am currently working, but higher education as well, in their forefront as they're making some very difficult decisions.
Richard?
In the context of the Board of Regents, could you talk about the attributes of governance versus management? It's kind of a two-part question. That's the first part. And the second part of the question is, can you also discuss a little bit about boards, things that make boards good, maybe not so good, and kind of what you can bring to the board if you become the regent that will make it a better board?
Sure. I think it's a question about individual regent and the Board of Regents as a whole. And obviously, the Board of Regents as a whole, while it has a list of duties and responsibilities, I think there are some major ones that are certainly at the forefront. Clarify the mission of the organization, and then work with administration to implement programs that are going to carry out that mission. We're the Board of Regents is the policy arm of the University of Minnesota. We're not the administrative arm. And then as an individual regent, certainly you are the Board of Regents as a spokesperson, and the individual regent should not be speaking on behalf of the board unless asked to do so by an administrator or the board chair. Individual regents need to advocate for the University of Minnesota. That's, I think, paramount in this position. We need to work very, very diligently to show the university in its best light and show the importance of the university, not just to the legislature, but to the entire state of Minnesota. Not sure if I answered all of your questions.
The second part of the question really was, you probably have boards that haven't worked so well together.
Yes.
And so, you know, what causes a board to be really an excellent group of people doing the job versus one that isn't working so well? And then kind of, how can you make that first part?
Through my career, certainly had the opportunity to work with many different board members, and some better than others. And I think perhaps on the negative side, it's individuals that perhaps come onto a board with a singular purpose. I want to change this particular policy or this issue. What I've seen happen quite often is that person comes onto a board and really doesn't realize the immense number of responsibilities that board has, and soon is overwhelmed and sometimes walks away or realizes through that process that their issue is really a minor issue and doesn't deserve the 23 hours a day that they're spending trying to make a change in that hour, in that issue. So I've seen both of those work. Good boards certainly agree on the mission of the university and work as a team, or the entity, and work as a team to foster growth in that mission. I would refer to my first several years at West Central Area. We had four school districts with a total of 25 school board members. And typically school boards are six or seven members, but as a group of districts looking to consolidate, we had 25 members. And we met as a joint board. And one of the unique rules that we had was, in order for any motion to pass by that full board, 80% of the members needed to approve the action. Jesus. And that's pretty unusual, and yet it was put in as a safeguard for each individual community. Consolidation is a major step, and if one community felt so strongly against one issue in that process that they all voted no, they had the power to stop it. And I'm proud to say in my 4.5 years, as we had 25, we eventually got to six members. We looked around and wondered where everybody went to that first meeting with six. But through the 4.5 years with 25 and then 17 members, the 80% rule came into play one time. And that was when we were seeking to eliminate a kindergarten teacher and go to one section of 23 students. And that community said, no, we want two, because we think maybe a few more students will show up for next fall. So we had two sections of kindergarten with 22 students, 11 in each section. But that was the only time that 80% rule, and I think that showed that that group of 25 people agreed with the mission of that organization, and it was something they all needed to work together, and they all were willing to give up parts of their identity in order to make that happen.
David Fisher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You keep saying Dr. Kelly, and you call yourself Mr. Kelly. Is there a preference?
I hear in Kelly, Dr. Smith.
Dr. Smith, I appreciate your leadership qualities and your passion for education. Obviously, that's come out very clearly. I'm going to ask you a question to help differentiate yourself a little bit, and that would be what you might consider to be your unique skills that you can bring to the University of Minnesota that will allow you to have an immediate impact And what types of ideas do you have in mind that you'd want to put on the table for the university to consider?
Probably a unique set of skills that, and I haven't seen all the background on all the candidates, but I have lived in a number of communities in the state of Minnesota. Cottonwood, Minnesota, Southwest Elbow Lake, Wendell Barrett, out in western Minnesota, the edge of the Red River Valley, Red Wing, southeast Minnesota, Winthrop and now Belle Plain, south central Minnesota. So, and my wife's family is from Duluth, so we spend much time up in that area as well. So I feel we have an understanding of the state of Minnesota and what the connections to that the University of Minnesota has to various parts of the state. As far as ideas, obviously something that is very important to me is seeing organizations that work with preschool through graduate school programs in the state of Minnesota working in a more seamless manner to become as efficient as possible and ensure that we have the most outstanding educational system available from that preschool program right up through our graduate school programs. And I know there's been some work done by various organizations. There's a P20 committee that's been meeting for a number of years, but there's certainly much more work to do in that area. As we move forward, the competition for college-age students is going to be more and more fierce all the time, as there are fewer students in that age category. And the University of Minnesota is seeking to attract the brightest and best, and so is every other college and university around. So I think anything that we can do to establish better relationships with our K-12 institutions would certainly benefit the university in the long run.
Okay. And Richard Estes.
You have been an administrator, superintendent for quite some time. Now you're going to be flipping that over. You're going to be so-called a board member. Now, there is a substantial difference, and I'm sure you have thought that out. Could you just elaborate on that a little?
Sure. How to say this here? I don't pretend to be a know-it-all. And in particular, the University of Minnesota, there is much. I know a lot about the visible parts of the university, but there is much to learn about the university as an organization. And I have no pretense that I know more than anybody else there. And as a board member, it's going to be my charge to learn as much as I can about the issues that are before the board and act as a part of that board to move the organization forward. I think if people talk to board members that I have worked with, again, I'll go back to the collaborative part. I have no problem being part of a team, and I think best work is done when groups work as a team. And I don't see any problem stepping from that administrative role that I currently have to being a member of the board and looking to administration for their recommendations on particular matters.
All right, Carrie Porter.
If I were to just quickly use a phrase to summarize what I see in you as a superintendent, I would call you a turnaround superintendent. And you've had quite a bit of success in that. And you've, after getting through those trying times, you've remained with districts for periods of time that is significantly longer than most superintendents today. So my question is really two parts. When you go into a situation, for example, these turnaround situations, what is your approach to finding out where the challenges are, and how do you approach... What is your problem-solving approach?
As you enter a situation, obviously, you need to start at ground level and find out what all the opinions are. And I'll use my move to Belle Plaine. Prior to arriving in Belle Plaine, there had been two school building project levies that had failed. And the second one had been quite acrimonious, in fact, where the two sides, yes and no, went at each other quite forcefully through the newspaper and other means of media. So my first week on the job in Belle Plaine, I asked people around town, who are 10 people that I should talk to on all sides of these issues? And I met individually with those 10 people. And it wasn't only the chair of the PTO and the president of the school board and the head of the teachers union that I knew were going to be on the side of the school's vision for the future. I wanted to talk to everybody and find out what their issues were, what they saw wrong with the plan that had been put in place. Pretty difficult to move forward if you ignore the opposition. You need to find out what the opposition is, what their key points are, find out what you have in common. And in Belle Plaine, the commonality was we want a good education system. But there was significant disagreement on how to get there as far as facilities. We did some minor modifications to the plan, and after a tie vote, we actually were successful the next vote to pass the issue, and now we have our facilities in place. So I think it really starts with seeking out what both sides of an issue have as far as serious concerns one way or another regarding that issue.
And then if I could follow up quickly. To the point of your tenure, what would you say are your greatest personal attributes that have contributed to your ability to remain in same districts for extended periods of time when that's not the norm?
Sure. Good question, and I don't know if I'm the one to answer, but I will try to answer here. I think I have been a consensus builder. So even when people have disagreed with the direction I see and I have worked toward achieving, I think we've done it agreeably and professionally. I still have opponents that I consider friends, and I think that has helped me with my longevity. I'm going to back up to moving to Elbow Lake. As I moved there, one of the districts had three new members who were elected to the school board in a write-in campaign before I arrived. And their effort was to sink this consolidation effort and a school building. I voted for two of those members the next time they were up for election, because it was a situation where they had pieces of information on the outside. And once they got into the inner circle and still had access to everything that was there, they gained a new level of trust for that information. And they became good board members, and they served those districts for a number of years into the future. So I think that building of consensus helps leave winners and winners behind rather than winners and losers. And if you leave winners and losers behind, those equal short-term tenures as superintendents. And I have made the decision to move from each of my positions for one reason or the other, professional advancement, family, and so on. And that's something I'm very proud of.
Thank you.
Rose, happen to have the ability to picture the communities, each of the communities that you mentioned having been part of your career, commencing with your hometown of Cottonwood, as my hometown is Mineola.
Okay.
My question goes to two of the three legs of the university's land grant, mission of teaching, research, and outreach. It's the research and outreach legs, and how your experience across major portions of the state causes you to look at the research and outreach legs, particularly from the perspective of economic development of the university being an economic engine for the state of Minnesota.
I think I touched on kind of the outreach with extension is probably the leading example of outreach for the University of Minnesota. But also, while I was in the Elbow Lake area, I worked with the Center for Small Towns out of the University of Minnesota Morris, which was dealing with a number of issues with really small town sustainability. And I worked with Roger McCannon in that program for a number of years. So that's important to the far reaches of the state of Minnesota. And likewise, research is as well. And I think as the university heads into the future and the state of Minnesota deals with some of the financial issues that we have right now, we can't trumpet that research arm of the university enough. I think the stats are for every dollar invested in that aspect of the university, we're going to get $3 in economic return. That's a pretty good investment in today's market. And I think that's perhaps the hidden jewel of the university. Maybe the 7-county core metro area hears more about that research side than perhaps rural Minnesota. But having said that, University of Minnesota, Morris, is a leader in the area of energy innovations and some of their biomass facilities and different things that they have going on out there. So, both of those arms are absolutely critical to the future viability of the university.
Richard, Itzel, and then George.
I'm going to look at my notes here. I'm sorry. You talked about reorganization. I went through that when I was on the school board. Now, how did you come out of that by saying that you didn't? You still have some friends there after 40 years. There's parts of it. I went in. I still would kind of look over my shoulder.
Yeah. Well, early on in my career, talking to my local pastor, we commented that we were probably similar creatures, pastors and superintendents. And there's a 7-year rule. Every decision you make or every year of decisions, you're going to upset 7% of the people. And after 7 years, you're really hitting that halfway mark, and your enemies maybe number more than your friends. And there are tough decisions to make in those in any school district or any type of organization like that. And I think it gets back to professionalism and treating people with respect regardless of what the decision is. That's helped me to do that.
All right. George Sundstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Smith, and Ms. Porter touched on 95% of my question, and Mr. Ista was the rest. But I... And so maybe mine is more of a comment but anybody, a school district chair who can bring 3 school districts out of statutory debt and leave on his own deserves the greatest amount of credit. And somebody asked, why would you want to go to the university when they have problems? You've been there. You know exactly. And it's a comment. It isn't because I don't get to ask the question.
No question? All right. Do you want to comment on this comment?
I probably have enough already, but I appreciate the comment. Thank you very much.
Okay, Jim Erickson?
Superintendent Smith, you're here because of your resume, your stellar resume, and the comments of folks who we've done some due diligence with, including your possible predecessor, Richard Bozak. But I must say I want to follow up on Billy's first question. I cannot imagine, and can't get my arms around how commitment that you really must make to your school district as an active superintendent can square with giving you the time to be a full-time, essentially, somehow, all-star regent. And with all due respect to all of your qualities, which we've seen here, and you burnished your application with your answers, I have a hard time 2 days a month at a region board meeting, let alone all the conflict. Every day you would be conflicted, it seems to me, whether you read the materials for your school district or read the materials, many events that you'd have to go to be a good regent and to be a good superintendent. It just seems to me that there aren't enough hours in the day for you to do that. I think we'd be stealing a quality superintendent, a wonderful superintendent from the Belle Plaine School District, and forcing you to compromise both jobs. Am I wrong about that, or please address that for me?
Sure. I touched on that a little bit with one of the earlier questions, but it is difficult for me to give an accurate picture because I have not sat on the Board of Regents. I've only talked to individuals who've talked about the commitment and the time. If I lived in my hometown of Cottonwood, I wouldn't be here today because distance would be an issue, certainly, and that would just add to the pressure. But I'm 45 minutes away from the University of Minnesota. Like I said, I'm at a point in my personal life and school life that there is some downtime, and I shouldn't say downtime, but time that I get to choose what I want to be working on. And like I said, I love the University of Minnesota, and I don't see that as another job. I see that as an opportunity that I would have. You know, I think on one of the initial questions, it talks about, do you see any circumstance that would prevent you from filling the term of something along that line of this office? I guess if it became such an issue where time was not available to do due diligence to both, I'd have to, if I was a regent, certainly look at that. My first commitment right now is certainly as a school superintendent. That's what pays college tuition for my three children. But I really, having looked at it and looked at calendars, I believe I can do that and make a distinction between the two organizations and do due diligence to both entities.
Patrick Duncan. The core mission of the university with its land grant definition is research, education, and extension or outreach. There are many challenges, certainly the financial challenges that we face in the next 6 months. But there's also, and if you'd care to comment on maybe what we can do about those challenges, I don't necessarily expect the golden answer today, but thoughts would be good. But also looking out farther, out maybe 5 years, what do you see as a possible threat to that core mission of that three-legged stool that's so important in a land-grant institution?
Well, out into the future, I think a possible threat, a very real threat, will continue to be finances. Last night at our organizational school board meeting, we kind of went through the presentation materials of Tom Stinson and Tom Gillespie regarding the new normal. And it's hard to argue with that information, that governmental resources, we're not going to wake up 2 years from now and things are rosy again and there's plenty of money for every program that comes to the legislature looking for it. So in terms of continuing those three parts of the university, I think the university, like all education and all business entities, needs to be in a continual state of change. We have amazing things happening in the area of technology and online learning, and just the way students receive information today. And I'm not advocating that we go 100% online. I think a very valuable part of a college experience, a university experience, is the discourse that is present when you have a group of people meeting together rather than through your thumbs and your iPhone. There still needs to be that part of the entity, but we do need to look at ways to better and more efficiently perhaps provide some educational services through technology. So that's certainly an area there are strides being made every day, and everybody's going to have to make some changes and use technology to better themselves as we move forward.
Are there any other questions before we ask him for his closing statement? Anybody? All right. Would you like to give a closing statement?
Sure. Again, thank you very much for allowing me to be sitting here today and be part of this process. It's an honor to have just been asked to come in today, whether I advanced any further than this or not. So I appreciate that very much. Obviously, there are concerns that I have a full-time job right now, and I think I've said about as much as I can to try to persuade you that there is a balance there, and I would certainly work diligently to provide the utmost service to both organizations that I would be part of if I was selected to the Board of Regents. I do have a passion for the University of Minnesota, so I don't consider that part work, and I know there are days that it will feel more like work than other days, but it is an organization that I've just had the utmost respect and admiration for throughout my life, and I see this as a way to give back to that organization that has had a positive effect on me and many other members of my family. So, again, I thank you all for this opportunity.
And thank you for your support for the university.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.